Bibles to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Let's begin reading it with me, if you would, and in verse number 26, chapter 6, verse 26. I won't zero in on verses 41 through 51, but I want to read a little bit to lay a little groundwork. Now, before we get to verse 26, you have to remember a couple things taking place. Jesus is preaching, the beginning of this chapter, he's preaching to a multitude. It comes time, and he realizes that they've got to eat something. And so he asked one of his disciples how much money they had, and he told them that just had he's 200 pennyworth, I couldn't remember the name of it, pennyworth of bread is not sufficient. He just had enough money to buy that. And he said because they had 5,000 men. And so Jesus told him to have the men to sit together. There was 5,000 of them. Then you take the women and children. And so you can imagine how many people was there. And so another disciple, Andrew, came and said, "We found a little boy that's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so Jesus took that, knowing what he was going to do. But Andrew said, "But what is that among so many?" And so Jesus, doing what only God could do, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he told his disciples to disperse it out for everybody to eat as much as they wanted. And they did. The Bible says when everybody was full, they ate till everybody was content. Then he told them to go gather the fragments up. There was 12 of the disciples, and there's 12 baskets of fragments gathered up. Somebody asked me one time, said, "Why was there 12 baskets?" I guess for every disciple to understand what a miracle that was. As they carried that basket and it got full, and then they looked around, and all was their basket full from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Every one of the disciples had a full basket, 12 loaves, from the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It was just not Jesus wanting to perform a miracle, but Jesus was wanting to illustrate a point. And he wanted to illustrate that he was the bread of life sent down from heaven. Just as this bread was sufficient enough for their physical bodies, Jesus is sufficient for everyone with grace left over. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Somebody said, "Well, how many can Christ save?" He can save the whole world. He is sufficient enough that if he would save every soul here, he'd still have grace left over. And so when we look at the miracles of the loaves and fishes, it was more than just feeding people. Then, of course, after that, his disciples went over on the ship. And they was over on the ship, and then here he come walking on the water to them. Now imagine that, seeing someone walk on the water. Jesus was able to do that. Then look, if you would, in verse number 26. And Jesus answered them after teaching. The next day they came to him. And Jesus answered them and said, Verily I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now let me say this. You have some people that will come to places and things only for what they can get out of it. We've had people come to this church as long as people gave them things all the time, and when they quit giving, they quit coming. Then sometimes when they know that you're going to have a dinner or something, be on time you see them. Some people just comes for what they can get. And I don't mind for anyone coming eating, don't get me wrong. But there are people that just comes not to really see Jesus, but for what they can get out of it. And so he told some of the people that was gathered with him, he said, you didn't come here because you saw the miracles, but the fact that you ate the loaves and fishes, and you were satisfied with what you ate. Look in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Look in verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now some are materialists. They only come for what they can get. Then you got legalists. They think that you have to do something to please God, and your works pleases God, and the only way that you can do it is work your way to heaven. And so they came asking Jesus, said, well, what works can we do? What can we do that will get us there and get us everlasting life? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is a work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. It's not something that you've done, it's something that God has done. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Then there's also another group. There's another group of sensationalists that comes to church sometimes. They only come to see when they're being entertained. You have entertainment, they'll come. You don't have entertainment, when you quit having entertainment, they quit coming. Look in verse 30. Then said they therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? In other words, they said, what miracle are you going to show us today? Well, I mean, yesterday he just fed 5,000 men and women and children. Now imagine that. Then he walked on the water. Before that, they were talking and bragging about how he healed so many people that had incurable diseases. And then they come to him and say, well, what are you going to do for his day? Show us a miracle today. And you know, you have people like that. They just come along, and they'll come, and as long as they're being entertained, they'll come. But when they quit being entertained, they'll go somewhere else. They're just looking for entertainment. Now look, if you would, in verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of the and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Amen. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have what? Everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now notice verse 41. This is where we're going to pick up and preach from to verse 51. Then Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, what? Everlasting life. I am the bread, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is a bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Let's read a couple more verses, and I'll come back and pick up those 41 through 51. He said, then the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is not meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Amen. Jesus gives three illustrations of the fact that he is the bread of life. The first one was the act of the miracle. We talked about that, where he was the bread that will sustain you in your life. He has all you need to be sustained. Then manna, he has more than adequate supply to sustain you. Then he gave the illustration of manna. Now, most of you know, going back to Exodus chapter 16, that God sent manna down. And the Bible called it light bread, angel's bread. It was every morning during the night. It would come and they would go out and they would pick it up every day. And they would eat of that bread. Now, someone said with the number of people that they had, it would take about, now think about this. It would take about 260 boxcars of manna to feed them every morning. Israel, the millions that they were of them. Now think about that. Now think about one of these boxcars and think of 260 of them packed full of manna. That's what God fed them every morning, 365 days a year, 38 years. Every morning they went out and manna was given. Jesus not only wanted to know that, like the miracles of the bread, that he has enough for everybody, he wanted to know that what he had was sufficient for every day of your life. Every day it will be sufficient. Then he goes on and he uses a third illustration of his own flesh and body. How that he would go to Calvary, and he was pointing to Calvary. And how that his body would be given given for us, and his flesh would be, and his blood would be shed for the remission of sins of the world. When we do the Lord's Supper, what we do is we remember his flesh, we remember his blood. And we remember by his flesh and blood we have been saved. And so therefore, we recognize him as the bread of life. Now, picture this just a moment. These Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes reminds me of Democrats and it reminds me of the press and some Republicans. Everything that President Trump says, they take and they sparse every word and they try to trap him into something and make him say something. And of course, sometimes he obliges them. But then a lot of times they just search his words and try to find something and turn it around on him. Well, that's exactly what they did to Jesus. Everything Jesus said, they would try to find something to turn the crowd and the multitude against Jesus. Now, the only difference between President Trump and Jesus, President Trump makes a lot of mistakes in what he says. Jesus never did. But the point of the matter is, he had people that were searching, trying to tear him down all the time. And so here Jesus brought to a crowd, and he begins to tell them about the bread of life. Look back in verse 41. And the Jews began to murmur at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And so their response to him was the fact that he said, I am bread that God sent down from heaven. And of course, their forefathers knew and they ate the manna. And so he uses that. But then if you look in verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And what they did, they did not recognize Isaiah's prophecy and others that Jesus would come, be born of a woman and be born of a virgin. And he would be born and he would live among us and take a body like us. And he would come for the purpose of dying for us. And so when they looked at Jesus, they saw Jesus as a physical being, knowing Joseph and Mary, and as a physical son of them. They didn't recognize him as a son of God. Now listen to me a minute. If you're ever going to be saved, Jesus is not some prophet. Any denomination or any religion that teaches Jesus is a good prophet is a lie. You can't be saved by believing Jesus was a good prophet. Somebody said, well, Jesus was a good man. You can't believe that he was, you can't be saved by believing that. You've got to understand that he was a son of God that came down from heaven. He became man, and he was still God-man. And so here, what we find is, they were ignorant to who Jesus really was. Now, the reason why you have so many people starving today, and by the way, he used bread here, and bread is something that the whole world can identify with. I mean, you can sustain your life for a long time. A lot of people eat nothing but bread in some places. And when they get bread, they're thankful, but it sustains them. But here, he wants to use bread, and he wants them to understand. But they were ignorant to the fact that he was the Son of God, sent down from heaven. And of course, they said, well, Moses gave our fathers bread. What are you going to do? And Jesus said, Moses wasn't one sent that manna. God was. And what he was trying to relate to is, I came down not by natural birth of Joseph and Mary. I came down of God. Mary was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. And I came through a miraculous birth. Only one in the world to ever do that. And so here, they were ignorant of that. So they rejected Jesus because he is who he claimed to be. And really, to be honest with you, the main reason people reject Jesus is they don't want to give him his loyalty and believe in him and trust in him, and they don't want to give up their own heart and their own life. But let's look on. Then in verse 43, the Bible says that Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Now let me tell you something. When you're busy murmuring, you never learn nothing. I tell some kids sometimes over there when we're trying to teach them in school, they get complaining about everything, and they get this idea of wanting to murmur about everything. They never learn nothing. You never learn nothing by murmuring. And Israel had a bad habit of murmuring. Look on in verse 44, and this I'm getting into the meat of where I want to go. Notice what he says. He says, no man can what? No man what? What's the next word after no man? Can come to me, except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now let me say this. Now listen to me, please. A lot of people dies in this ignorance. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. Man thinks he's independent to live any way he wants to live, and at any time he wants to, he can just walk in and say, God, here I am, take me. Take me on to heaven. So many people live their life the way they want to live their life, and they get ready to die, and then all of a sudden they won't turn religious. All of a sudden they want God to come in and rescue them. They want Jesus to come and take them to heaven. And they want, when they cannot no longer give their body and their life to the devil and the world, then they want to turn it over to God when their life's through and they're fixing to die on their deathbed. It don't work that way. No man can come unto the Father unless he draws them. You need to be very careful about being independent. Some people think, well, there's this one doctrine that teaches that, well, only God's chosen certain ones that can be saved and others can't be saved. That's not what the Bible's teaching here. What the Bible's teaching is that at some given time, God draws men through the Holy Spirit of God. You can't just come when you want to. I have parents tell me, they say, little Johnny's been asking questions about their salvation. Would you talk to him? I said, yeah, I'll talk to him. But I tell little Johnny this. I said, Johnny, when you get where you recognize and you understand that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, whenever you realize that God is dealing with your heart, and God begins to show you the fact that you're lost, and you feel God drawing you to come to Him, that's when you come. Now listen to me a minute. I want you to get this, because this is where most people miss the boat. The work of salvation is upon God. God, through the Holy Ghost, first of all, He comes and He convicts you. I've had some people say, I never feel a weight of sin. I've had some people that I've said, well, I've had them ask me, said, what did you feel like when you got saved? I said, well, I was carrying a heavy load of sin. And I said, I felt the only one that could take that lift, that burden off of me, was Jesus if I turned my heart over to Him. And I've had them tell me, well, I don't feel a load of sin. Listen, the dead don't feel nothing. It's not until the Holy Ghost of God comes and convicts you of your sinful condition. Until He awakes you and awaken your dead conscience, until He awakes you out with His Holy Spirit and He convicts you of your sin, you don't have that weight. How many of you remember when the Holy Spirit of God convicted you? You remember when you just felt like you had the weight of sin on the world? Do you remember how that you felt so guilty before God? You had no place you could hide. You know what that was? The Holy Spirit of God convicting you. And so first of all, the Holy Spirit of God convicts you. But even before that, the Holy Spirit of God, through the preaching, began to get you to hear and understand. And then when you begin to hear the Word of God, then all of a sudden, when He convicts you of your sin, then what you do is you turn from your sinful condition, recognizing yourself as being lost, and your only hope to be in Christ. And when you turn to Him, that is what we form as repentance. You turn from your sinful way, depending upon yourself, and you turn depending upon what God did through Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And therefore, you put your faith in Him, and you believe in Him, and when you believe in Him, then what happens is God borns you again. But what happens is when you've heard the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God convicts you of your sin, then He begins to draw you to come to Him. And you must be willing to come. And those that come to Him, He says He will in no wise cast out, but He also says to every single person that comes, He'll lose none of them. You get that? Somebody said, I don't believe in eternal security. It don't change a thing. Now, I will say this, there's a lot of people not saved that thinks they're saved, but I'll tell you this, if you're saved, you're saved forever. God promised you eternal life. He is the bread of life, and He says, listen, He related that to manna later on in Scripture where we're at. He said, what manna did was, it satisfied them and it sustained them during that day, but they eventually died. He said, but I'm the bread of heaven, and I came down from heaven. I'm the bread of life, and you eat of me, you shall never die. You have eternal life. You have everlasting life. And so what I want you to understand this morning is this. What God promises you, and by the way, this bread of life is a person. And this person has a promise. And He promises that those who will come to Him and believe upon Him shall have eternal life. Somebody said, well, what do we have to do? All you got to do is believe. You got to have faith. You've got to believe upon what the Word of God teaches. And what happens is, when the Holy Ghost of God convicts you and He begins to make those words real to you, and you realize that Jesus is real, you realize that the cross is real, you realize that the cross is your only hope, and you turn to Him and you cry out for Him to save you, when you feel the drawing of the Holy Ghost of God, that's when He saves your soul. Somebody said, well, I went down there and I prayed for 10 hours, and I prayed through. You don't pray through. It's instantaneously when you respond to the Holy Ghost of God and he draws you, and no man can come to the Father except they be drawn of God. And when he draws you and you respond and you put your faith in Christ, you're saved. Right. I was sitting back there where Tim is on the back row in Sinking Creek Baptist Church one Sunday night, and God was dealing my heart, and boy, I was fighting a battle, and the Holy Spirit of God convicted me, and I felt like I had the weight of sin upon my life. And I was sitting back there, and I felt God just cutting me with the word. I knew what I needed to do. I knew I needed to be saved. And I sat there, and I felt the Spirit of God just drawing me to come. And I'll be honest with you, when I took a step out of that aisle, I believe he lifted my burdens that moment, and he saved my soul. Now somebody said, well, I believe you got to pray through. I believe you got to believe through. Now, I believe when you believe upon him, you have everlasting life. Amen? Somebody said, well, that seems so easy. No, it's not easy. You know why? You got to turn from yourself. Not too many people wants to let go of their self. They want to hang on to their self. But let me say something else while we're there. You better respond when God deals with you. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. This idea, I'm going to put it off till I die and get on my deathbed. I cannot tell you how many people I've sat by and they've wept and they said this. Preacher, there was a time when God dealt with my heart. Now I never feel him deal with my heart. Had one man cry just before he died right in my presence. And he cried and he said, I don't care how much I try. He said, I cannot feel God deal with my heart no more. He said, I'm fixing to die and go to hell. He said, there was a time when God's Spirit just dealt with me to come, and I refused to come. And I decided I want to live my life the way I was going to live my life. And he said, now I can't feel the Spirit of God dealing with me at all. And somebody said, well, didn't you tell him that God was saved? Listen, if God's not drawing him, I sure can't save him. You understand? God's got to be drawing. Now let me say something else while I'm there. This may offend somebody, it may not, but let me say something. We've got this idea of this simplified soul winning. That means that we're going to go and we're going to knock on this man's door, and we're going to tell him that Jesus died for him, and we're just going to keep pushing him until he says he believes that. Then we're going to pronounce him saved. I believe we are to preach the word, we're to share the word, and we're to teach the word of God, but you let the Holy Ghost of God draw him. If the Holy Ghost of God, he's not drawing him enough, and same way with church, somebody said, well, if I get saved without coming in front of people, I'm going to tell you something. When I got truly saved, I could care less what anybody else thought. When I come down that aisle, man, I was crying, blowing snot, blowing my nose and everything else. I was just crying, just tore all to pieces. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying I could care less what anybody else thought. I come to the end of myself, and I came to believe in Jesus. And when I did, it saved me. But my friend, it takes the Holy Ghost of God drawing you. And when the Holy Ghost of God knocks on your heart door and he draws you to come, that's the time you need to come out of that aisle. Don't put it off. And whether you're young or whether you're old, it doesn't matter. When God deals with you, and some of us, God may have dealt with at different times and more than one time. But you never know when Jesus is going to be passing by, and that's the last time he'll ever pass by you. So therefore, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but come. Amen. Look back just a minute. Look back in Scripture. Notice, if you would, in verse 45. He says, it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And what he said, if you look on the bus out there, we put that scripture on there, that all our children should be taught of God, and great peace shall be there at the end. But anyway, it says, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Very, very, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me hath what? Everlasting life. He said, now when they ate the manna, they were satisfied for a while, but they died. He said, you eat this manna, you have everlasting life.
Nowhere will you ever find Jesus promise everlasting life do you find him say but, unless, or if. Never. No conjunctions. You know why? Because the same Holy Spirit that convicted you and drawed you, the moment you come, you know what he does? He borns you again. And he opens and he makes you alive. Your spirit's alive, and now God's spirit lives inside of you. The Bible says your body becomes the temple of the Lord, and he dwells inside of you, and his spirit witnesses with your spirit, and you, at that point, are sealed until the day of redemption. Therefore, you are saved eternally. But you must come by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So this morning, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been saved? Has there ever been a time when the Holy Spirit of God awoke your dead conscious to the fact of your sins? Has there ever been a time when you felt like your sins were so heavy that it was the weight of the world upon you? And you didn't know what to do, but then the Holy Spirit of God began to show you that your hope was in Jesus. And to be saved, you had to come to him. And you felt the Holy Spirit of God saying, come. You know, over and over in the Bible, they use that word, come unto me. Come, let us reason together. Come unto me. The bride says, come. The Spirit says, come. Come, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Jesus says, come. That's what the Holy Spirit says. He draws you to come. And when he's drawing you, that's the time that you step out. And you say, Lord, I want to be saved. I believe. And that's what it takes to be saved. And maybe this morning God is drawing your heart. And you feel the weight of the world upon you, and you feel your sins. And you realize that you stand before God guilty, a lost sinner, on your road to hell. And you're willing to look to Christ and call out of him, save your soul this morning. Yes, would you come? As we stand, give a song of invitation, Brother Porter. Maybe today is your day of salvation. Would you come? How about this morning? Is God drawing you? You know, the Bible says in the last days that he that letteth is going to be taken away. One of these days, the Holy Spirit of God is going to quit dealing. He's going to go. Today, if God's dealing with your heart, you ought to come. Would you come? The cross. How about today? You hear this morning, God's dealing with your heart. You can never go to a time and place that I described this morning where the Holy Spirit of God visited you, called you. It feels like such a personal call just to you.